Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 267, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, December 15th. It is December 15th, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody cool with that lie?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, it is. All right, Miles.
You know what that
December
means?
December 15th, 2022. Couldn't be any more.
Hey,
December 15th, 2022.
Yeah, man. Look, throw on the Bad Bunny because it's National Wear Your Pearls Day, okay. Cat Herders Day, Bill of Rights Day, International Tea Day, National Cupcake Day.
I've been drinking a lot of English breakfast tea.
Indubitably.
Yeah, indubitably.
Was it Twinings? Sir? What brand was it?
It is. PG Tips? I got it right here. Tazo.
Oh, Jack. Ralph. Come on now.
I'm just in it for the caffeine without it being coffee, you know,
mate,
a lighter caffeination in the morning.
Mate, you already know Harry Kane had that massive miss in the World Cup.
Massive! I almost called you and said, Harry Kane, massive, when he made the first one.
Some people, I think, tweeted that shit at me, actually, when he missed the penalty. They're like, Harry Kane, massive! Like, yeah, I totally fucked up.
Yeah. And then I jinxed you last night because Russ had two buckets in overtime. And I was like, I texted
Russ.
And then it was more of a, Russ.
Yeah, it was bad.
We are, a lot of people don't realize this, but we do determine the outcome of NBA games just through our magical jinxing behavior.
You want to know how bad I jinxed it? When there was 3 minutes left, I was like, okay, we got this. I'm getting the memes ready. I Googled meerkat because that's what I think what Joe Mazzola looks like. He looks like a meerkat.
And
I was like, wait till I hit the group chat with this one, dancing on him. And then when I started to see the pendulum go, I X'd the fuck out of the window. I'm like, oh God, I did it.
You texted me, woo! And I was like, okay, I might have to tune in. Went and checked it, and it was bad news from there on out.
Anyway, bad news bears, Walter Matthau.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Wet Boys. What you gonna pod? When guest Chris Crofton comes for you. Wet Boys. What you gonna pod when he comes for you? That is courtesy of Kevin Maloney and courtesy of Chris Crofton just announcing that he's a dry boy. We're wet boys. Mm-hmm. No further explanation needed. I'm proud to be a wet boy. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. It started with inherited wealth from the Emerald Mines. They boo. Remember when I called that hero a pedo guy? They boo. Monkeys dead from drooling inside their brains. They boo. Let that sink because I'm circling round the drain. I'll buy you a horse if you don't boo. Shout out to Salvador Jolly. I haven't heard Usher and Alicia Keys' My Boo in a second, but the fact that you put My Boo for They Boo and Elon and that nonsense at the Chase Center. Thank you, Salvador Jolly. And a jolly one to you as well.
A nice reference to him trying to get a hand job with a horse at the end there. Wasn't that what he said? Or
yeah,
I guess he was like, trying to get say. He was like, I'll buy you a horse if you have sex with me.
If you don't say, or you say you didn't have sex with me, it's hard to know.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But we have someone here who can help us just kind of work our way through the galaxy mind of Elon Musk. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented actor, writer, director, comedian, and the host of the new podcast, Man Thinkers, on our sister network, Big Money Players. Man Thinkers is a satire of the modern world of manfluencers, like a Colbert Report for our time. Please welcome to this show, George Karaman!
George! Wow, I'm here. What an introduction. I wish I could be introduced like that just every day, all the time.
Hire us. Hire us.
You guys are good hype men.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What was that position called when like somebody entered a party back in the like rich white people days and they're like, Jack O'Brien of the O'Brien family. And then like you pulled
of
up
the Wilshire O'Briens. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that called?
Caller?
Was that their only job? The caller?
The caller, the crier?
Oh yeah, town crier. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe crier. That feels like. And then would they fucking like shade you if you're like, yo, they didn't have like the Bruce Buffer of criers over there.
Yeah,
they had some other. Oh wait, no, Bruce Buffer is the off-brand one, right? It's his brother, Michael Buffer.
Michael,
the real
Buffer.
Yeah, they said, oh, they got Bruce Buffer, not Michael Buffer.
I don't know that I could differentiate between the two of them, but I may be underestimating my skills.
Michael Buffer is the more handsome one. Like, he looks like the Michael Buffer of the two.
Right.
His brother looks like off-brand Michael Buffer. And you're like, man, that ain't Michael Buffer. And you're like, that's his brother, man.
He's so Michael Buff, and Michael Buffer is Michael Buffer. Yeah. George, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. I can't complain. You know what I mean? Sun is shining as it usually is here in LA. So I'm good.
Here in sunny California.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Enjoying the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice and chilly. We don't get a lot of that. Although I was back east this week and got my fill. Cold weather, taking the dog for a walk in the cold weather was nice.
See, I like the cold weather, but the thing is, I'm from New York, from the city, and when I go back, like I was back for Thanksgiving, I don't mind the cold, but literally, like, you do not get but 15 seconds of sunshine hitting your body.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because even if it's sunny, it's to get the buildings, blah, blah, blah. It's like short day. And I think that's what messes me up. Like, that's what causes the seasonal depression thing where I'm like, I need that starlight on my skin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that for me more than the cold.
Yeah. Because like walking like midday through Manhattan, like you're like, I'm forever in the shadows of these skyscrapers. Yeah. And then it's like jarring when you get to like Central Park and it opens up a little bit.
Right.
You're like, ah!
Yeah, exactly. You feel like a vampire. You get this, and you're like, and it's like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Your reaction
for real,
to it.
For real.
It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, George, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court justice getting turned up at a partisan holiday party.
What?
Yeah. It was Brett Kavanaugh. We know how he feels about beer. He was kicking it with all the coolest of the cool on the right. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fusion breakthrough. And my cynical side immediately asks the question, how are we going to fuck this up? I think I have some idea. And we're even going to talk about Fox News freaking out over a tiny library's Christmas decorations. And the first shots in this year's war on Christmas have been fired. And the battle was won by Jesse Waters, according to Jesse Waters.
Wait, like, they got mad at the decorations in a fucking public library?
In a public library that was fully decorated with Christmas decoration. It had a big wreath on the door.
Tell me more. Don't. Yeah. I can't imagine.
Gift wrapping station.
Okay.
And they were like, where's the tree?
It was more like interior decorating criticism than anything.
Got it.
We'll get to it, all of that, plenty more. But first, George, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so from my recent search history is, what is a silent heart attack and did I have one?
Yeah.
That second part was more the motivation for what is a silent heart attack. Because silent heart attacks are a real thing that I didn't know about until I thought I was having one. I don't think I did have one, but 40% of heart attacks are silent, which means you're not like, you don't have the thought, oh, I'm having a heart attack. You might be, you might feel experience discomfort and whatnot. But the thought I was having was like, am I about to have a heart attack? And then I learned later that actually, if you have that thought, you might have already had one.
That's troubling. Reading about this a number of years ago and feeling like, well, what the fuck? This isn't fair. this is.
This dude I used to perform with, like, he, like, a couple years ago was, like, posted. He's like, man, I got this weird jaw pain. And then 2 days later, he's like, y'all, I had a fucking heart attack and I had no fucking idea. He's like, I had this weird neck pain. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the movies. You're like grabbing your left arm and shit. Yep. He was like, it was this weird tightness in my neck and my chest. And I was just kind of disoriented. And then I went like, he's like, luckily my partner was like, go to the fucking hospital. We're like, oh yeah, you had a heart attack just now.
Damn. It's scary, man.
It's fucking scary. It's
crazy. And a lot of people will like not even know until months later. They go to the doctor and run some tests for like something else. And like, oh, by the way, you had a heart attack.
Oh, by the way, you're three heart attacks deep, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, you didn't. Okay. I just thought that's how you were living. Okay. No. Yeah.
You're good with that, right? Yeah. That's wild. So did you look into it? Have you been to the doctor to find out?
Yeah, I did. I had been meaning to go to a cardiologist anyway, because I have like a family history of stuff, which is another reason why, like, you know, the mind takes over. We were like, shit, here we go. Because my dad had a heart attack. My grandfather died of a heart attack. But they were both big time smokers back in the day. So I always thought, and I don't smoke, so I always thought like, well, that's why. But then, like, when you experience the thing, and the way it happened for me, too, dude, this is so fucking stupid. I was going hard in a sauna cold plunge situation.
Yeah.
And I was doing 20-minute sauna, 5-minute plunge, 3 times in a row. And I'm like, I'm fucking, let's go. Fuck yeah. And, like, the third plunge, I was like, man, I really don't want to go in. But I was, like, pushing myself, like, nah, you can do it, like, blah, blah. And there's, by the way, there's, like, 80-year-old men in this.
Yeah.
Maybe not for 5 minutes, but, like, it's not, like, you know, like there are old dudes in there. So I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Jump in that third one. And I got through it. And it wasn't until afterwards. But dude, I couldn't even finish a sentence without having to take like a like deep, deep breath for the whole day. And then I look. Oh, and then I woke up later that night with like heartburn, but I hadn't eaten anything crazy. And that's another symptom and all this shit. So I started freaking out because like you start doing the like amateur medical professional Google situation and it just gets bad. But I went to a cardiologist and he ran like just like a simple thing. And he was like, look, it's not 100% accurate, but like you most likely did not, but we can run more tests if you want. So I'm going to get more tests done. But him saying, I don't think you had one.
Yeah.
Made me feel like immediately 1,000 times
better. He was also carrying a bag of golf clubs and stuff. Right. And had a whole outfit out. Yeah. You're good, bro.
No, you're right though, dude. I don't know about you guys. I'm like, I'm not down with doctors. Like, I know they do great work,
but
God damn, the arrogance and the condescension you get is like, shut up, dude.
You need to find, it's like, I remember being put off by like one of my last doctors because like they were completely botched like tests that they had to do.
Jesus.
And I was like, oh, what happened with them tests? They're like, oh, you didn't get them? And I'm like, no. They're like, oh, you know what? We didn't even send the sample. Can you come back in?
Oh my God.
And I was
God.
Like, what the fuck, you were in there being like, man, we want to like make sure we get a whole blood panel, all this. I'm like, the fuck? And it's like little things like that. I get it, like anything, you're at work and things fall through the cracks. But at times, like my antenna's up because like I also have a family history of like, you know, not great doctors letting shit slip through the cracks and people passing away and stuff. So I'm like, God, how do I like, I need somebody. And a lot of people are like, just use, you know, ZocDoc or those other things. You can kind of get an idea of.
Yeah.
Like how well people are doing. But it's always like it's always a personal thing, too, where you can kind of just want to sense that someone is like, you're a human being that's concerned about their health. And I get that for sure.
Right.
Rather than like, yo, man, I'm about to tee off in like 15.
Yeah,
it's true. It's funny. I feel like the way I judge doctors is more just like, would I hang out with you? Like, like, do you know what I mean? Like, if we, if you were at a family dinner, would I be like, oh, that guy's all right? You know what I mean? Versus like, are you actually super qualified medically? Which is probably the way I should do it. But it's that super qualification thing that makes them think, I feel like that, like, yeah, whatever I say is true. And it's like, you don't know what's happening. Most of being a doctor is just playing detective with your body. Like, you don't fucking know what's happening. You know what I mean?
And they say the most important aspect of how good a doctor is, like how much patients respond and how well they do, is their empathy, like their level of empathy, and not like their credentials or whatever.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
My wife is a doctor, so I do have to say there are some good doctors.
Isn't even to cast aspersions on the medical profession at all.
It's just there's plenty that are fucked up.
It's just a sense. It's just like any feeling you have as a human being, obviously exponentially more concerned about your health than a doctor who's looking at you objectively and being like, nah, you're good. But sometimes people are like, here's the thing. I just mainlined WebMD for like 18 hours straight. So like, can you hit me with like a few more lines of dialogue that will kind of blow this shit out of my mind? And sometimes you're like, you're good. One time I had a doctor be like, man, don't worry, man. Just look, if something feels bad, just come in. And that's when you catch it. There's no point in worrying. And I was like, well, I get, thank you for that like very zen like outlook. But like, I just asked you 700 questions. And from there, you couldn't get that. I'm a little like freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
700 questions, one answer. Don't worry about it.
You're good, man. Helpful. Look, like,
well, there's no in, you know, how to deal with people training. I mean, maybe there is a little bit, but that's what I mean, where it's like, it's got, like, I remember, dude, one time I went to a walk-in clinic because I thought I had an STD, and I explained to the dude, I was like, yeah, I'm fucking, something going on, fucking, you know? And the guy was like, oh, that doesn't sound like an STD, but, you know, pull your pants down, let me see what's up. So I pulled the pants down, and his is his reaction. He looks at my stuff and immediately goes, huh. And I was like, what? What is the subtext of hump? Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you? You don't look at a man's junk and say, huh.
Then you pulled out your record and wrote for 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what's hump? My dick's hanging out. I was like feeling super vulnerable and weird. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you just got to like spray athlete's foot stuff on your dick. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that kind of podcast, but, you know,
it is.
We're going there.
Yeah. I also like a doctor's like, dude, just spray some Tenactin on you.
That's literally what he told me. That's what I did. I was like, okay.
I don't know. You got any Tenactin? Yeah. I mean, doctor? And also the system is being taxed beyond. Like, I think it's a big systemic problem where America is choosing to just ignore its way through a pandemic. And it's not doing
And it's so hard because, again, there's just so many disparities within it all, and like I said, that's why I take my time to like really vibe out with doctors now, and then when I find them, like yes, good,
yes,
because they're, and especially in LA, I feel like there's a lot of like, there's this model of like just like a doctor's office that just cranks out patients just to collect insurance money, you know, like where you're almost like, is this for healthcare or is this to be like, yeah, man, they got insurance, man, just see them for anything. Yeah. And then send them out their way, and we're just like collecting money. But look, that be the way it is out here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What is something you think is overrated?
I think salads are overrated.
Okay.
All says the guy who thought he had a heart attack.
This very true. And I definitely eat way too much meat, and I've tried to cut it back since my last maybe heart attack. But I will say, like, the thing with salads, I've never fucked with them. And I think maybe it's just a genetic thing. Like, maybe my body just doesn't like the greens. But, like, you're never full. Like, it's not salads. It's when people are like, I'll have a salad for my lunch. And it's like, that's not a lunch, my dude. You know what I mean? Like, salads and a couple pieces of chicken in there. That's not, you're fucking starving in like an hour.
Yeah. That's why you gotta get grains. You gotta get beans in there. If it's gonna be, I mean, I think the way I've only ever made a salad like fill me up is like going to like a salad bar, like at a supermarket, filling the tub like to its absolute top, where I've basically eaten like 2 pounds of greens and a couple pieces of chicken and a boiled egg, and I'm like, yeah, all right, that I did it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you got it. For me, the idea of like stuffing my body with like a pound of greens, I'm like, no. Like, I don't. I know this shit is healthy, but like, I don't think we're supposed to eat it like that. Like, I think it's more of a grazing situation, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight meat eating, though, you know? I get it. When your belly's full off that meat, what can you do?
I feel like the manosphere version of this would be like the only way to eat a salad is to like put it on the ground and graze it like a cow or something. Like, you know how the liver king like has that, has like all these things, like it has to be natural. You have to be eating the way that you would have before the invention of utensils or something.
Right, right.
I don't know if that's it.
Yeah. Eat a head of lettuce like a fucking apple.
Right.
You know, like, or like a head of cabbage like an apple. And they're like, that's what you do. And then also take like HGH for like fucking 8 years.
Yeah. Which, by the way, didn't Liver King just get caught?
He did get caught. Yeah. Which it's shocking.
He ain't natty, dude.
We're still kind of, we haven't really fully covered it because we're still sort of bringing it into our worldview because it really kind of upset some things.
Gotcha.
For me, I thought that that was just raw liver giving him the build of a He-Man cartoon. Just don't, as long as you don't wash the dirt off the head of lettuce or off the potato, then
you better not. You better eat those potato bugs.
What's something you think is underrated?
All right. Well, I have two for you guys. So the first one is also going to be laughable considering my heart attack thing. But I do think cold showers are underrated. Now, okay. I'm not talking about like, you know, 15 minute cold showers, something crazy. But if you're a morning person, like if you shower in the morning, a quick 2 minute cold shower, dude, wakes you the fuck up.
You do it before the hot or at the end of the hot?
I'm talking just cold, my man.
Just cold. You're washing yourself in ice cold water.
You're a no hot.
Yep. I'm a no hot kind of guy. But here's the thing. It's got to be, you have to be committed to taking a short shower, right? You're not, it's not one of those showers where you're like thinking and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like a quick in and out shower. And it does suck during the shower. It's never fun. But after you get out, it's like you had a cup of the cleanest coffee you've ever had. You know what I mean? Like you're just like locked in, ready to rock, feeling good about the day.
So my wife is very into Huberman. Do you know Huberman?
Yeah, right. We're trying to get him on our podcast. Yeah.
So he's like this Stanford scientist and he has all these like hacks. And one of them is like the cold shower. And she got me to buy in and I did the cold shower. And I felt like shit for like the rest of the day. I was like, oh my God, I'm like exhausted. And yeah, like I have a cold for the rest of the day. So I think it like definitely works for, I think, some people for sure. The way you described it is the way I always hear people describing it, that it like ramps up your kind of energy and your adrenaline. And for me, it was just, my body was like, yo, don't do that ever again.
It might have given you a silent heart attack.
Yeah.
I think, exactly.
I felt like shit the whole day. I could barely think. Fucking neck pain. It's crazy.
And what's your other underrated?
I think being underrated can be underrated. Like being when other underrated. People think you are, when other people underrate you or underrate something, that's underrated. Because I think like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't really matter if you're a performer or whatever, but like, let's say I assume you're a bad doctor. We're talking about doctors, right? And then you come in and you're just like a normal doctor.
Yeah.
Now I think you're a great doctor because my expectation was that you were whack. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes being underrated gives you an edge.
Low bars. Yeah,
exactly.
All about low bars, man.
Yeah.
Every day.
The lowest.
But yeah, like it also. Yeah,
you heard
it,
how we opened this podcast.
Right.
You heard my Usher singing. Bar is pretty high. But yeah, it definitely is like a psychological advantage, I think. I think the most powerful it is when you actually have a very strong sense of self and you're interacting with somebody who underrates you, because that's when they'll be like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, exactly. I remember I read an interview with Margot Robbie or something where she was talking about how when she first got to LA before she was famous, she would go on auditions and she felt like casting or whoever, producers, whatever that she was auditioning for, were like when she walked in the room that they would immediately judge her as like just like a hot ditzy person. Mm-hmm. And then when she actually like did the audition and like was good, that they were like, oh my God, she's the best actor ever. She's like, I don't know if I deserve that response, but because people thought I was going to be dumb.
The whiplash.
The whiplash of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So, whiplash.
There you go. Hell yeah, bro. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about a celebrated thinker among men, Brett Kavanaugh, and what he's up to now that he got the pass, is in the Supreme Court, and still loves beer.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
And we're back. And so, I mean, like we started, I feel like maybe... was it the beginning of last year? I don't know. Time is a fucking mess in these days, especially doing a daily
podcast. Describe the feeling. Don't try and place it in linear time, and maybe I can find you there.
Remember when there was the like liberal Supreme Court justice who was talking about how he was not going to retire because they call balls and strikes, and like he didn't think his fellow justices had any ideological bent? Do you remember that? That was it. It seems strikingly recent.
Oh,
there's a recent memory I have where Breyer, the Supreme Court justice, who everyone was like, you better fucking retire now that we have.
Oh,
like,
yeah. He was the
Biden in
right.
the in office and, you know, Democratic houses. You better retire because you're getting old. And he was like, I don't see it. The Supreme Court is, you know, just we're all just out here calling balls and strikes. And this is somebody who has to like deal with them and read their opinions and like write the dissenting opinion on this shit. And he was still trying to peddle that shit. So yeah. Anyways, that was like, I don't know, a year and a half ago, I feel like.
Well, and also it's been a thing since like this latest wave of confirmations since Trump was in office of like, they're not partisan. Okay, we're going to ask them during the confirmation. You fuck with like healthcare and like abortion access, right? And they'll say yes, and then it's fine. They said yes.
Right.
But it's clear to see now, like the Supreme Court has just become this just overtly partisan body that's
the
been
most
infiltrated.
Potent weapon for the right wing.
Yeah. And the Federalist the Society yeah. has done their damnedest to rebalance the scales in favor of a conservative worldview. And there was a time when like that take of like a Supreme Court justice would be like, excuse me, partisan? Get the fuck out of here now. How dare
out of my
you?
My chambers.
Please. Please.
Chambers full.
And like they all insisted politics had nothing to do with their decisions, but we all know that's bullshit. I mean, Clarence Thomas is basically a walking conflict of interest since his wife, Jenny January 6th Thomas, is a conservative activist and also walking QAnon post or 4chan post, whatever you want to, however you want to describe that. Alito and Amy Coney Barrett are like regular speakers at all these partisan events, and like they laugh about all the bullshit they have to go through since they're the face of curtailing people's human rights. Which brings us to Brett Kavanaugh, because he was at a holiday party last Friday night at Matt Schlapp's house. Now you say, who's Matt Schlapp?
Schlapp.
Maybe you know who he is. He's the head of fucking CPAC. Like, we talk about when the actual CPAC convention goes down, and we always call it like racist Coachella, because that's usually what it is. Like, it's just end to end fucking nonsense being screamed at.
At last year's CPAC, they had a like jail cell set up with a like MAGA Jan person Sixer. In it, like in, you know, the
performance
prisoner art. Uniform, like just looking sad for the whole time to be like, this is what has happened to us. This right. is
look at this.
These are our political prisoners.
Look at this photograph.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, I was almost going to do that.
Look at this song. Photograph.
But, you know, Schlapp has been like salivating like the fucking cartoons, like trying to unite right wing extremists from the U.S. and Europe. He even had CPAC in Hungary because he wanted to be close to Viktor Orban. And at the time, Viktor Orban, like at the conference, was saying that Europe was, quote, committing suicide through immigration. And when Damn. Matt Schlapp was asked about it, he said, quote, Roe v. Wade is being adjudicated at the Supreme Court right now. For people that believe that we somehow need to replace populations or bring in new workers, I think it is an appropriate first step to give the enshrinement in law the right to life for our own unborn children.
You will not replace us.
So he's in that great replacement theory garbage. And anyway, a sitting Supreme Court justice was rubbing elbows at this man's house. Who was there? Just some people you might know. Matt Gaetz, Sean Spicer, Alex Acosta, Sebastian Gorka, Stephen Miller, fucking Eric Prince of Blackwater fame. Goddamn mercenary king.
Dream
there.
Team, baby. Dream team. They got it all covered. Wait, which Supreme Court justice was there?
Oh, it was Brett Kavanaugh.
Brett.
So
was Squee there?
No, Squee wasn't there. But,
oh, Squee didn't make it?
But he did have a shirt on underneath, I think, that said, like, the fuckboy prince of Rehoboth Beach. And mind you, Stephen Miller has an organization he started called America First Legal. They have cases that are going to be heard by the Supreme Court coming up. Mm. And this guy's fucking just there being like, oh, what's up, dude? So I would be more outraged, but, you know, it's, I think, just there's been a great job of obscuring how partisan the Supreme Court has been for many years. But yeah, it's just wild to be like, okay, so this is where we're at. We've completely like lost control of the Supreme Court, and yeah, they're just openly being like, yeah, dude, I fucking kick it with fucking Sebastian Gorka and the homies.
Yeah, they're openly building a fascist movement. Like, that's, you know, global fascist movement. And the Supreme Court's right at the middle. It's right just, in there.
It's just wild because you see, like, all the time, like a law professor was chiming in. They're like, this is absolutely, like, terrible for a Supreme Court justice. I just want to read the words of Emory University School of Law professor Tanya Jacoby. Said, quote, Supreme Court justices should be extraordinarily careful in not only having no actual ethical difficulties, but having no appearance of an ethical conundrum as well. And I'm like, you think they give a fuck? Seriously, I know some people believe that's how it is, but we're taking people like we're just letting, you know, the process is allowing people who have no sense of like what is, you know, what like what's sanctified about the Supreme Court. And like a lot of people like Democrats, like I just can't believe it. But you got to believe it. Like that's what the end game is for these people. They're not playing by the same rules. And it just feels like pre-Viking Europe, where people were like, don't worry, if there's a cross on this building with all the gold in it, people will know it's of God and they won't want to go to hell or anything. Then Vikings showed up who were like, bro, we believe in nothing. And they just took everybody's shit. And then people were like, ah, what happened? It's like, you're dealing with the same thing. These people don't respect the same ideas you have. So to act like they're going to protect anything, it's exhausting.
Yeah, the norms are gone. Nobody's shocked by anything. I was going back through the tweets of the year because we're doing a like social media year in review for when we're off. And there's this one from at one red Che or Chi, C-H-E-E. Conservatives, we want to murder all people with pronouns in their bio. Liberals snort, we is a pronoun.
Right.
I feel like that's the level the fight is happening. Like, gotcha with the wordplay instead right. of they're pretty, they seem to be taking this seriously. So maybe we should.
It's like getting robbed and being like, oh, well, somebody's broke.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, but they're still going to make you run your shit. Like, right. So what have you actually done here?
George, as somebody who has to inhabit the mind and personality of, you know, so someone who is kind of friendly to this way of thinking, how do you think about this?
Just the general
state of
our
yeah.
It's look, it's sad. Like if you you can go that route, right, where it's like super depressing. I think like one of the things that stands out to me a lot with like. Because, you know, I have to, first of all, let me say this. So, you know, my show, like you said, like we're kind of satirizing these types of guys and these types of podcasters and whatnot. So like on YouTube and whatnot, you know, I will watch a bunch of like Jordan Peterson videos or Ben Shapiro videos or whatever for like ideas, you know, because we do scripted bits too. And like now you see how the algorithm works, because if you go to my YouTube homepage, you would think I was like,
yeah,
out of my fucking mind. And all I did was watch like, you know, fucking 20 of these vids that are like 3 minutes long. But you see how it just, the more that content you consume, the more and more extreme shit they start like recommending to you, like the algos. And then I'm like, oh, this is how it happens. Like you watch some Jordan Peterson video where he's like, clean your room. And you're like, yeah. Okay, there's nothing wrong with someone saying clean your room, I guess. And then like 6 months later, it's like neo-Nazis. You know what yeah, I mean? That's right. Like, and it's like, oh, fuck. Like that to me is probably one of the most depressing aspects of it, is like, if we didn't live in a world where we have algos feeding us what it thinks we will like, would as many people be being pushed out to the extremes that they are? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad.
Yeah. It's hard to say how much the like chicken and egg of like the algorithm versus like just the overall fascist movement.
But so intertwined is the
yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And the last like super big rise of fascism coincided with, you know, the invention of like the loudspeaker and radio becoming very popular and, you know, films and TV and like things that could reach a lot of people. And it feels like,
right,
you know, when we don't have those things locked in and like they get out further than we're able to kind of deal with it as a species, this tends to be the initial reaction, is just let the fascists kind of go wild. Like right. You see that on just chat rooms. If a chat room isn't moderated, the fascists come in and just start wrecking the tone and start like saying horribly offensive things.
And they try and normalize that behavior where it's like, it almost becomes numbing to someone where it's like, well, there's so much of this shit. This is just normal kind
right,
of a thing.
Right.
Like, obviously, you're not having that thought, but this is subconscious erosion of people's minds. Like, I always used to say, like, if Trump was like 20% as crazy as he is, I always felt like he would actually have been more hated and less popular, because I'm like, he's so insane and so many that he says so much crazy shit that it becomes numbing to people, where it's like, did you see what Trump said? And like, yeah, well, it's Trump. Whereas if any other president had said one of the things he said, it would have been a fucking uproar. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But it's because, yeah. no, that's who he is. That's his reputation. It's just like insane shit, saying racist shit, whatever it is. And then people just like are like used to it in a fucked up way. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Flood the zone with shit is a
right.
Is a stated strategy of right. you know, Steve Bannon. Flood the zone with shit. Speaking of Trump, I mean, it's probably worth talking about this Fox News freak out over libraries' Christmas decorations, because
another threat to our society.
Another huge threat to our society. So it became a major news story. It was basically one library in Dedham, Massachusetts, population 25,000. Opted not to put up a Christmas tree this year. One person, patron of the library. Oh, I guess it was a branch supervisor wrote a Facebook post. With Facebook is where all the good discourse is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Complaining about the decision, pleading, please bring Christmas back to my beautiful library. The post didn't mention that the library was still packed full of Christmas stuff. There's a giant wreath on the door, Santa, elf, and snowman decorations on the desk inside, like the front desk, first thing you see. There are Christmas DVDs and books prominently displayed for the season. And there's even a gift wrapping station.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also there's a bunch of Christmas trees in the town hall that you like walk past to get to the library. And in a community garden just steps away from the library. So it's like somebody had to draw a border in their mind and be like, these Christmas trees don't belong to the library. So it's not fair. But this, of course, prompted news outlets to descend on the town because of an angry Facebook post. They interviewed angry residents, one of who complained that the library celebrates other holidays like Pride Week, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Kwanzaa, and the Jewish holidays. Mm. Interesting.
But I'm also, this person is wild. They complain. They're like, yeah, you know, the dumb shit like 4th of July, yeah, and Thanksgiving. I'm like, okay, it's so weird how this person's probably has a fringe political ideology too. Right. Like they're homophobic, but they're also like Thanksgiving celebrating a genocide. You're like, well, is that what you're saying? Or are you just anti-Turkey? But anyway, I thought that was an interesting spread of dates that he chose.
And they, by the way, they are also celebrating Christmas to a wild degree with a gift wrapping station. But Jesse Waters, of course, picked this up, reported that the first shots have been fired on the war on Christmas. A graphic claiming there's a Scrooge among us. You might remember Scrooge, the character who famously had a wreath on his door and lent out DVD copies of Elf. The publicity led to the library staff being bullied and threatened online. The town eventually said they would put trees up in the libraries, claiming that much of the backlash transpired before we had even started our seasonal decorating. So this was like all based on a conversation that they possibly misunderstood. But Jesse Waters' show proceeded to dox the library director, like out this person who's just trying to do their job, and called her a Grinch. They were like, she's the town's library director and she banned Christmas. And then claimed that the decision to put a tree in the library was due to pressure from his show. So there's a victory for them. It's just our writer Jam points out one of the very few, because this isn't even technically like they hadn't put up their Christmas decorations yet when this controversy started. The only time that you can really find an incident of a Christmas tree ban in the news, you have to go back to the 80s. And we've talked about this in the past, the time that Donald Trump prevented his tenants from having a tree or even Christmas decorations in the apartment building he owned in the 80s. They're so worried about the war on Christmas.
They're just grasping at shit. It's just so weird. Just flailing at shit. Remember, it was like Biden really jumped the gun on his decorations. Meanwhile, they were outside lighting up their fucking Christmas tree in New York, the same fucking day, like hours before they even ran that story. And now this one is, there wasn't tree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so, I guess at a certain point, I'm sure this is also why, like, they're like having trouble with like voter performance too. Because like, I get that there is some sense of outrage. Like if you're living in this shit of like, what is happening to Christian America or whatever. But I think that for other people who might not be as invested in that, it's hard to like keep that kind of outrage up that actually be like, that will get you to the point where like, and the world needs to change and I'm going to dedicate myself to that, because the stakes are much higher for people living on the other side of the coin who are like asking for real things like fucking healthcare. So I'm like, it's odd that this is always just the way they chum the waters with this like lazy fucking outrage shit. Cause this feels like even their producers are like, wait. So like there's other stuff, like maybe they're saying happy holidays. Like, no, they're saying Merry Christmas. Are there trees? Like, no, there's fucking trees like all like in the park, like in the city hall, like on your way in. But inside, like next to the gift wrapping station, I didn't see a tree. Fuck. All right, man. Well,
yeah, it's really a difference of opinion of interior decorating. It's
like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, well.
Grinch. Okay.
Trees are expensive.
Yeah.
Have you, man, I tried to buy a mini fucking tree. I have a reusable one because I can't, like, I remember one time I wanted a tree that was 6 foot tall, and like 6 years ago, like that's a minimum, like $110. I was like, shit, I get my reusable one. But even like the small ones are like $50, or maybe that's just the LA. Anyway,
yeah, no, I think I don't need to be. I think it's all pretty expensive.
I'm ranting about trees, you know.
Yeah,
and not the kind you smoke.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about fusion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
And we're back. And the news out of science is undeniably good. Scientists at a lab in California created the first breakthrough in nuclear fusion technology that seems to suggest we might be on a path to be able to create clean, sustainable energy using basically the same power as the sun, but here on Earth, just like create a little sun, from this LA Times article. Last week, for the first time, they designed this experiment so that the fusion fuel stayed hot enough, dense enough, and round enough for long enough that it ignited and produced more energy than the lasers had deposited, which that's what you need. The net energy gain was about 2 megajoules in, about 3 megajoules out.
I was reading all about it. I'm like, I don't know what a fucking megajoule is. Is that like a vape cartridge? Yeah. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? But there were plenty of articles that were like, hey, dumbass, this is why this shit is fucking important. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because normally, right, we're using fission reactors in nuclear power plants, which are splitting atoms and create radioactive waste, like in the form of spent fuel rods. This is literally fusing them to create an energy, like a net energy gain, and has no, like, has none of the pitfalls of like fission reactors.
Yeah, it's clean.
Which I was like, oh, okay. So no like Chernobyl, Fukushima type shit. Also infinite, like it's clean. And once you get it going, like it's a party for all to have fucking energy.
Right.
That was like, that's when I was like, I see. That's big.
Yeah. Yeah. It also generates 3 to 4 times as much energy as fission, which itself is already roughly a million times more powerful than any other energy source on Earth. So,
wait, but how many times more?
Roughly a million times more powerful than
a million
any other.
Times more. Wait, how many? What's fusion is how many times more than fission?
3 to 4 times as much as fission. Oh,
Jesus. And that's wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's very, very intriguing, very promising. Still, like the fact that we don't use fission, the thing that's already a million times more powerful than the other energy that we have available to us, I think that has more to do with it not fitting into the world's preferred paradigm of the moment, which is global corporate capitalism. Like you need the government to like intervene and handle a nuclear reactor, essentially. Right. That's not a thing that can be like easily privatized. You can't just like find some, you know, plutonium rods and, you know,
start your own DIY nuclear fission.
Become a nuclear billionaire overnight, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It, like, we already have a fairly, when you look at like people writing about the nuclear energy that we have available to us through fission, like, it's already pretty safe. And, you know, there are some downsides, but not nearly the amount of downsides that fossil fuels have. But, you know, through a steady drumbeat of like, disaster movies and overblown news disasters, it keeps it as something we're afraid of. And I don't know if it's that.
I don't know if they're all overblown. I mean,
not like, all over.
To render
comparatively,
like wide swaths of a nation like unusable,
sure.
I think is bad. But I get the point, because I think my first reaction is like nuclear bad. No.
Yeah.
The Simpsons,
yeah.
Three-eyed fish.
Yeah, I'm specifically like from The Simpsons. I'm trained to be scared of nuclear energy for sure. But greenhouse gases have like killed way more people.
Yeah, George, why do you have a similar reaction? What's your first thought when you hear nuclear energy?
I mean, I like you just assume it's bad, but I'm like, I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, if we had 1,000 nuclear energy plants in America, would that be it? Like, would that be the only energy we would need? Because I feel like I've read stats like that where it's like, you know, it wouldn't take that many nuclear power plants around the world to like power the entire world.
Yeah.
And it's like, and my understanding is it's clean until there's a Chernobyl. But yeah, then right. When there's a Chernobyl, that's really fucking bad. And you get the three-eyed fish, like you said. You know what I'm saying? So,
and right. And
how many Chernobyls have we had? So we've had like 2? Or has there been a bunch more that I don't know about?
Yeah, there's Fukushima. There's definitely been some high profile disasters, and there is something I think naturally that scares us about like such a sort of hard to wrap your mind around like form of power. But I definitely don't think fission, especially, is without its flaws. It's just when you look at what gas like and coal has done to people. You know, it kills them in ways that they're comfortable with, I guess.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, I guess comparatively, like, you have more deaths from fossil fuel burning energy generation right. than you would, like, these nuclear, you know, like
millions
disasters
of plants. Yeah, like, way, 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 way more. Right.
Yeah. I think that's what makes the fusion thing so exciting, is where you go, well, guess what? None of that is a possibility with fusion. In fact, like, you can't even make nuclear weapons with fusion, like a fusion reaction type. Like facility. So yeah. There's like all this stuff. You're like, it's actually the best fucking way possible. Like,
right.
And I'm like, okay, great. So we're out of the woods. But again, I feel like they only were able to do that in a small controlled like experiment. And now it's about scaling that up to like a commercial level, which they say is like maybe a couple decades away. But
yeah. 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 For
there
sure.
was a, in college. There was this lake near my college that was man-made, and there was a nuclear power plant nearby, and the lake was always warm. And the local people were like, yeah, the power plant, like, it's just because, you know, like the pipes or some shit, like running, it's like, so it's always warm. It's always warming it. And I was like, that sounds bad. Like, that sounds really bad. Like, we're swimming in like a man-made lake.
That's, it's a hot spring.
A nuclear powered hot spring.
A nuclear hot spring.
Yeah.
You guys want to go swimming at the nuclear hot spring?
Yeah, you want to go to Three-Eyed Frog Lake?
Right.
Okay.
It is, again, like talking about things that are like really intertwined. It's hard to figure out how much of it is just like a natural fear of like, well, radiation is this thing that we don't like fully understand. We know is bad as compared to fossil fuels. But there's also been a concerted smear campaign by fossil fuel companies to make nuclear energy terrifying, because gas is something one person can, you know, put in a truck and sell to another person. And, you know, nuclear power, you need government level budgets to invest in a power plant that requires, you know, massive infrastructure and resources. And then everything, you know, from there is much more efficient. But that's not a thing that you can like easily incorporate into the system, the money system of the world. And then also like most of the money in the world, or a great deal of the money in the world, at least at this time, is tied up in the current system of global capitalism and privatization and deregulation. And this would move, and you really want to closely regulate these nuclear power plants.
Yeah. They'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody's getting electricity now?
Yeah.
For like cheap? Oh, fuck. Because they're already like, you think how hard like fossil fuel companies were fighting solar energy. And but technology has gotten to the point where they're like, sorry, like this one's just going to get away from you more and more as more people are like, well, fuck it. Then I'll put on my house if I have to. Like the idea where they're like, well, fuck, man, they just a fucking sun gives them that. And this thing makes like a sun, basically, that they can exploit the energy off of. That's like a fucking nightmare for like a lobbyist whose interests are like, got to keep the fucking dinosaur bones at the forefront.
Yeah.
Guys, you want to burn up dinosaur bones or some weird, freaky science future shit? Come on, y'all. I'm with dinosaur bones.
This might sound like a dumb question, but why is fusion so much harder than fission? Like, what is it that has made the fusion thing so, like, out of our reach?
No clue.
Okay, respect.
Couldn't tell you. I wish this was that kind of podcast.
Could it be that fission was, you know, easier to turn into a weapon? And so they, you know, they were out at the cutting edge of that and had there were more resources invested in it. I don't know. That makes sense to me, but I actually haven't done the research. It just might be, you know, from a science perspective, like much more difficult. But I'm interested to watch how this story unfolds, because, you know, I have absolutely no doubt that the global corporate order will find ways to sabotage the use of nuclear power in this form as well, or at least try to. But I also think they'll be going with the grain of, you know, the hive mind of global capitalism, and people naturally will just kind of want to reject this, even though it, I don't know, it has a good head start. Because the first thing we're finding out about it is like, they created a sun in a lab as opposed to, you know, nuclear weapons. So that's and maybe a benefit.
The lazy Google search I did is that it just takes way more energy to fuse atoms than to split them.
Right. Mm.
That's the other thing. And the amount of pressure and all this other stuff they have to recreate for fusion to take place is just much harder than splitting an atom and make shit go boom.
I mean, it's metaphorical, right? It's way harder to like bring things together than just destroy shit.
Seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
And then look at the unbelievable power unleashed in people in the things coming together versus splitting them apart. A good metaphor. A good metaphor. Oh, yeah. But yeah.
Did you guys see that thing with Christopher Nolan recently about
about Oppenheimer?
Like, yeah, like, so what did he do? He like he's bragging that he was able to recreate an atomic blast without CGI, and then everyone's like, so wait, are you saying like, what did you do? Blew up like a small atomic weapon. I didn't quite understand what was going on.
Saw the headline. It sounds like he was able to create a mushroom cloud, you know,
got it,
doesn't necessarily need like an atomic bomb to do. But yeah, I have a feeling that's
wouldn't put it past them.
Sick. Like, it's like, fuck yeah, I made it a fucking mushroom cloud. Did you guys get that on camera?
Yeah. It's also wild when you look back at like the history of the US and, you know, during the Cold War, they were just so cavalier with nuclear weapons. They're just bombing, you know, places in the desert, like within, you know, sight range of Las Vegas all the time. They had like a Las Vegas beauty pageant that was like Mrs. A-bomb. And like you could see, like as the beauty pageant's happening, you could see like mushroom clouds in the distance. So I'm sure that also didn't help with people's willingness to, you know, the fact that it was mostly a weapons thing for like when it first came on the scene.
Yeah. Well, and I, yeah. And also, we just have the worst examples when you hear the word nuclear or atomic.
Yeah,
it's not of course. Yeah, and like the jetpack that saved everyone's life. It's like atom bombs. You know that horrible shit? Or Chernobyl, you saw that on HBO? Anyway, that. And then you're immediately like, ugh.
Yeah.
But bring on the fusion, please. And I think, honestly, it may... I know like there is a... Obviously, we know that something that could just be like infinitely replicated like and created like energy is a bit of a kind of gross idea to fossil fuel companies. But I also feel like it gives like society the out too, like where they're like, no, man, if we can just do fucking this, then we can fucking eat the meat and do fucking everything else. And then we can just nip this part in the bud and then have free energy for everyone. So who knows? I mean, we're not exactly about doing the work in this country. So
yeah.
I certainly saw it as like, wow, science really did it.
Yeah, I mean,
you did it. You bailed us out.
They did. It'll just be interesting to see if we're willing to use it. But
well, right. And then the other thing being is we can't wait 20 to 30 years to then be like, all right, clean energy. It's also we need to be doing that shit yesterday. So,
right.
Hey, all right. At least we had a breakthrough.
Well, George, pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, everyone should check out the Man Thinkers podcast. It's with Big Money Players, also an iHeartMedia podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, if you guys, you know, if listeners like the Colbert Report or like Jon Stewart era Daily Show, it's more of that vein. You'll definitely like the show. And then follow Man Thinkers on socials, just at Man Thinkers. And for me, it's just at George Kareman, K-A-R-E-M-A-N. Follow it up.
There you go. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
You know, I was thinking about this and I haven't been obsessing over anything recently, but there I was kind of feeling all the White Lotus like theme song remixes that were going down in the last couple of weeks. Have you guys heard any of that stuff?
I heard like a Wild House remix like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I thought it was cool how so many people were into that theme song, and it made me wonder, like, now is the show as big as the theme song, or is it just the theme song that's taking off? Do you know what I'm saying? I like the show. I watch the show. But in my mind, I feel like people, at least on social media, that theme song blew up more than the actual show itself. Wow. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The theme song is great. And apparently, like, the intro, if you like look at the actors' names that are on screen, like next to the painting, like the name, there's like symbolism and stuff involved. It was well done. Well done.
Very well done. Guys, thanks for having me. This was a pleasure. It was all mine. Super fun talking with you guys today.
It was awesome having you, man. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Check Jack and I out. New episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties just dropped. You can hear us, or at least hear me, half panic about having to play the Celtics. And it turns out I was right. Also, if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check me and Sophia Alexander out on 420 Day Fiancé. You know, just having a laugh. Having a bit of a laugh. This one is just from at Requiem Arm. Jesse tweeted, LOL, look at this dipshit I saw on the street. And it's a picture of Rudy Giuliani, like on the sidewalk, squinting so hard at his phone. And it just feels like the most real, like, look at this dipshit kind of photo. And I just love that because he's got like, his outfit is wild. He looks like if Oswald Cobblepot got into streetwear or like big baggy draft day suits. That's a reference to the Penguin's original name from Batman. And he's got like Skecher shape ups on underneath. I don't know. It's very dipshitty. So shout out to you.
He
seems
like
he's
really enjoying
himself.
He's
just squinting at his phone. He's doing that thing where his phone's down here and he's going, huh?
That's right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. I like to tweet from Zach Budrick, who tweeted, everybody at the office got mad at me because I said Schitt's Creek seems like a show for straight women who have bachelorette parties at gay bars. seems accurate. I mean, it seems right that people got mad at him. Fuck you, Zach. That's not cool. Leave Schitt's Creek alone. I don't know. I don't want to run afoul of the Schitt's Creek.
You don't want to be up Schitt's Creek, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you don't.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Oh, I just want to play some Ann Peebles. The source material for Missy Elliott's Can't Stand the Rain. This track is called I Can't Stand the Rain because it's fucking sampled from Ann Peebles. And dope instrumentation. It's funny. I was listening to this and then super producer Brian was like, wait, hold on. Is that Al Green's band? And when you listen to it, it sounds... Yeah, again, everybody was using the same backing bands, and it was Al Green's band. If you're like kind of a musician nerd, you can hear it in the snare drum and that horn section, the Memphis horns. Anyway, Ann Peebles, I Can't Stand the Rain. Enjoy.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox